Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سوف نبقى هنا كي يزول الألم سوف نحيا هنا سوف يحلو النغم موطني ذا الإباء كيد العدا رغم كل النقم سوف نسعى إلى أن تعم النعم سوف نرنو إلى رفع كل الهمم بالمسير للعلا ومناجاة القمم فلنقم كلنا بالدواء والقلم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh, and welcome to Islamic Oasis Live. As you know, brothers and sisters, in the last few weeks we have been doing live both from the masjid here at Islamic Oasis Masjid and the center, and also live online. And one of the reasons for that is both to accommodate the community here and also to accommodate the community online. Alhamdulillah, yani for those resources. And now, brothers and sisters, the topic today. Of course, all of us know that Ramadan is literally around the corner. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah azza wa jal gives us the life, be able to live in the month of Ramadan, to see the month of Ramadan, and to be able to gain the rewards and all of every thing that Allah has kept for us in the month of Ramadan. Ameen, Allahumma ameen. Of course, dear brothers and sisters, month of Ramadan, this is the month of Quran, which means this is the month of Hidayah, which means this is the month of also conquests. This is the month where the Muslims were able to take this guidance to mankind throughout the whole world. This was the month in which Mecca was taken, and you know, meaning Fatah Mecca took place. This is the month when Muhammad Fatih took Constantinople. This is the month of victories for the Muslim Ummah. Of course, all of the Ummah is waiting to see the same kinds of victories that we had seen in the past centuries and the old times, because of what's happening in Gaza and what has happened in Kashmir and what has happened in Shishan and what has happened in Bosnia and what has happened, and the list goes on, unfortunately. As they say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. But we are, this Ramadan, brothers and sisters, we want to make it unique. We want to make sure that this Ramadan is not like any other Ramadan. You know, the funny thing is that even those tyrants across the world are worried about the month of Ramadan coming in. And the believers, the mu'mineen, are waiting for the month to approach so they can start the fasting, so they can start to gain the rewards, so they can start to fast and to break the fast and to do the qiyam and the siyam and the zakah and the sadaqah and all of that, while the kuffar and the tyrants are shaking that the moment this month begins, it will be the month of shaking of the thrones of tyrants. It's amazing that what even a simple, a general month can do to those who know that their days are numbered. So today, bi-iznillahi ta'ala, we have two different scholars. We have Dr. Musad, who is our local resident scholar here, you know, a teacher, professor, scholar, who's taught for the most of his life, both in Egypt and the U.S. He's been online with us many, many a times. He's given a lot of lectures. You can look up his lecture all over Islamic Oasis online. And so, inshallah, we will have him speaking regarding the rewards and the ibadah in the month of Ramadan. And then we will have Sheikh Asim Qazi, who will be speaking on the virtues of the Quran and the month of Ramadan. And so inshallah with that, I will invite our doctor, Dr. Musad, for the lecture, biiznillah. Jazakallah khair.
Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nashkuruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyati amalina. Man yahdihillah fala mudilla lah, wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu, an-nabiy al-mab'uth rahmatan lil alamin. بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة ورفع الله به الغمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه اليقين صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. الحمد لله الذي ضمن الرزق للمؤمن والكافر. الحمد لله الذي يعطي الدنيا من يحب ومن لا يحب ولا يعطي الدين إلا لمن أحب. جمع شملنا ولما فرقتنا فله الحمد حمدا طيبا مباركا فيه. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. ثم أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأن شر الأمور محدثاتها وأن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. My dear sister and brother, honorable guest will be with us either Sunday or Monday, inshallah, which is the month of Ramadan. And this month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give it specific criteria. This why in the hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the hadith Qudsi, كل عمل ابن آدم يضعف الحسنة بعشر أمثالها إلى 700 ضعف إلا الصيام فهو لي وأنا أجزي به. The hadith said that all the deeds which is the son of Adam do it is multiplied from 10 to 700. Then Allah said, except Siyam, it is for me and I give the reward for it. The only amal Allah explained it and put it without it, how much reward is a Siyam. Because Allah said that Siyam is for me and I will give the reward. So if you imagine any deed you do is multiplied from 10 to 700, it means that the Siyam is much more than 700. So now if you look in the Quran, what Allah said in Surah Al-Baqarah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Allah said, all you who believe, Siyam is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for people before you, maybe you will attain taqwa. And as I said before, the word taqwa have no English translation. Sometimes I say fear, sometimes I say righteousness, and so on. But the word taqwa by itself, it is a big word, and I hope, you know, by the time when I will have, I can explain it. The word taqwa is mentioned in the Quran about 151 times. And every time taqwa mentioned, you find something good, stick to it. This is to show that the taqwa, it is an essential part of our deen. So what Allah said in Surah Al-Ma'idah, إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَعَيُونَ. The muttaqeen will be in paradise, and then they have river, and you know, all what they need. وقال تعالى في سورة الطلاق, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. Whoever really have taqwa from Allah, he will make all his life easy. And then in Surah Ali Imran, it said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah loves the muttaqeen. So somebody tell me, so what means that Allah loves muttaqeen? I will tell you the hadith, what it said. When Allah loves his slave, he will call Jibreel, the king of the angels. Ya Jibreel, I love so and so, love him. An order. So Jibreel will love him. So Jibreel go to the seven heaven and say, Ya malaikatu Rabbi, O the angel of Allah, Allah loves so and so, he ordered me to love him, I loved him, you have to love him. So all the malaika loves him, and then Allah will put the love for him on earth. You find any place this man go, or this lady, you find the people see him and say, yes, can I help you, brother, or can I help you, sister? Subhanallah. Like, you know, when you see somebody and tell him, Ya akhi, your face, mashallah, the light come out. You never saw him. Sometimes tell somebody, did I see you somewhere else? Can I help you? This is the hub of Allah on earth. So now when they ask Ali ibn Abi Talib, Ya Ali, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose a specific criteria for the fasting. That he said, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So why Allah choose this? What is the taqwa? So Ali ibn Abi Talib explained it by a very elegant way. I love it. He said, At-taqwa here, four elements. And I hope, don't forget it. Number one, al-khawfu min al-jalil. Number two, I will translate it. Al-amalu bil-tanzil. Number three, al-rida'u bil-qalil. And number four, al-istihdadu li-yawm al-rahil. Translation. So taqwa consists of four elements. Number one, al-khawfu min al-jalil, to fear Allah. Number two, al-amalu bil-tanzil. You live your life according to Quran and Sunnah. Number three, al-rida'u bil-qalil. You satisfy with what Allah give you. And number four, be ready for the day of your death. You see how taqwa almost give you the big circle of what to do in your life in order for you to go to Jannah. Let now dissect each one and talk to about everyone just small bit. Number one, it is al-khawf min al-jalil, to fear Allah. Is Allah told you in the Quran to fear him? Yes. Wallahi, Allah subhanallah, and his messenger, they didn't leave us an excuse in the hereafter to say, oh, I never heard about this. No. Al-khawf min al-jalil, what Allah said. Fi surah al-Baqarah, wa iyaya farhabun. This is what Allah said. And fear me alone. Wa qala ta'ala fi surah al-Buruj, inna batsha rabbika la shadid. The grip of your Lord, of Allah, is severe. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now to explain what you're going to see after you die. What he said. Wallahi, akhi, when you hear this hadith, then you have يعني, to cry about the days you waste in your life. What he said. يُؤْتَى بِجَهَنَّمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ. Jahannam, in the day of judgment, it will be brought to the place where we will be judged. Ard al-Mahshar. لَهَا سَبْعُونَ أَلْفَ زِمَانٍ. It has 70,000 chain. مع كل زمام 70,000 ملك يجرونها. 70,000 chain or bridle, with each one 70,000 angel to pull it and then to put it in front of us. Now if you do the small calculation, 70,000 times 70,000, I know that our student here will tell you, can I have the calculator? 70,000 times 70,000, almost 5 billion angel. What they do? They pull Jahannam. Can you imagine? Those angel, what's the size? Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, عندما رأيت جبريل على هيئته. When I saw Jibreel in his real image, his feet was on the ground, his head up high, I cannot see it, and his wings cover west and east. Can you imagine? Now, if you have 5 billion to pull the hellfire, how big is the hellfire? Not only, but Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam said that our worldly fire is 1/70 of the hellfire. Of the fire of hell. 1/70. Can you put your finger in the fire? In your home? You can. You know, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, when he prepared, you know, said to prepare the dinner with his slave to eat together. So the slave makes the fire. So Umar sitting, you know, and then he looked to the fire. And then he put his finger close to the fire. And then he take it. And then he said, Ya Umar, you cannot resist the fire of dunya. What you will do is the fire of akhirah. And then he cried and he didn't eat. We are burned with fire. We see the fire. We hear about the fire. Still, mashallah, we eat, we sleep, we snore. Like, you know, nothing affecting us. But we have to be sure. Wallahi, it's a very hard day when you stand in front of Allah, naked, and then the sun almost 1 mile on top of your head, and you are sweating, and then you are waiting to be judged. It's not easy. It's not easy. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He reveals the Quran, He gives us everything in details. And then Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, what he did, he explained, and then his explanation to tell us, if you don't understand it here, I explain it to you on this side. So this is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, اتقوا النار ولو بشق تمر. Prevent hellfire even if you give half a dead fruit in charity. You see, it's easy. Why? Because they said that Allah subhanahu, some people, they say, Akhi, I'm very poor. I cannot give sadaqah or zakah. You are wrong. What they said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the zakah or the sadaqah. And He yurabbiha for you. He raised it for you. Until it came to be either, you know, maybe the size of mountain of Uhud. Or to be something big in the day of judgment when there is no shade, you walk in the shade of your sadaqah. So don't be shy to put even 10 cents if this all what in your pocket. But don't be a millionaire and then you say, okay, I will just give $1. Yaakhi. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you, don't be shy. Any amount you put it, and you know this was very important for you, but you give it as a sadaqah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase it for you to protect you in the hereafter. So now we finish the first one, which is al-khawfu min al-jalil. You fear Allah. Second one, al-amalu bil-tanzil. You live your life according to the Quran and Sunnah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, taraktu fiikum ما إن تمسكتم به لن تضلوا بعدي أبدا كتاب الله وسنتي. رسول الله said, I left with you two things. If you hold tight to it, you will never go astray. The book of Allah and my sunnah. And both of them, alhamdulillah, are available. Just read. Ask the people of knowledge. So this will give you an idea. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, what He said? He said that إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنَّى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Prayer will prevent you from doing any sins. So this is very important. So now when you pray, don't forget you are not standing in front of a human being like you and me. You are standing and Allah is watching you. So you have to do a perfect prayer. Because what Rasulullah said, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ مَا يُحَاسَبْ عَلَيْهِ الْعَبْدِ يوم القيامة صلاته فإن صلحت صلح كل عمله وإن فسدت فسد كل عمله. رسول الله said, the first things will be counted accountable for is your prayer. If it is good and sound, everything else will be good and sound. He's giving you أخي the key for Jannah inshallah. Number three, which is the answer التالت, الرضاء بالقليل. You satisfy what Allah give you. In Surah An-Nahl, what Allah said, وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Any favor you have, it is from Allah. So, and then the one, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَ. If you try to count the favor of Allah, you can't. Nobody can. Because if you look to your eyes and see really how much is a favor in the eye, you can't. This is why a man always go and complain to some of the shiuch or, you know, to some of the masajid. He say, I'm poor. So a guy, you know, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him some knowledge, he told him, come to me tomorrow and I will give you what you want. So the man came back tomorrow, ready, with a bag. He thinks that he will get money. He told him, it's very easy. I can buy from you one eye with $50,000. Then the guy told him, no, I can't. I said, okay, if you can't, so I can buy your, you know, hearing with $100,000. He told him, no, then I will be deaf? No, I can't. Okay, how about your tongue? How about your arm? So he finds himself that he owe Allah more than $10 million. And he said, I am poor. No one of us is poor. Alhamdulillah. We all of us in very good condition by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amen. Just to show you how the people have to be humble and how to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A man traveled to visit one of his friends in another town. So when he's walking, then he heard the following. I think the Arab will know it. I will translate it. Alhamdulillah alladhi afani mimma abtala bihi ghayri wa faddalni ala kathiran mimman khalaqa tafdila. Praise to Allah that cured me from all what he affect other people. And also he treat me much better than anyone. Very nice dua, right? Then he said, I will go and see the guy which is making this dua. He thought bad. He will go find a guy very well dressed, right? And then maybe he have an BMW beside him. And then just Allah give him whatever he wants. So he's making this dua. He follows the sound. Alhamdulillah, الذي عفاني مما ابتلى بي غري, and so on. Until he come near him. He found who? A blind man, no limbs, and he's deaf, and he's still repeating the same sound. Then he told him, Ya akhi, how you thank Allah for what? You are blind, your limbs, no hand, no legs, and then yani, you are almost empty. He told him, I thank Allah because He gave me lisanun dhakir, a tongue which I can remember the name of Allah. Wa qalbun khashi', and a heart is humble in front of Allah. And wa jismun yaqdah lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, and body can really take all the trial of Allah. Alhamdulillah, Allah give us eyes, right? Give us limbs, give us everything, but still you find some people complain. All the favor you have is from Allah. This why in Surah Al-Munafiqun, what Allah said, وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَأْتِ أَحَدُكُمْ الْمَوْتِ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّ لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ فَأَصَّدَّقْ وَأَكُنْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Spend, look to this surah, to this ayah. It's very important. Allah is telling to the people, spend from what I gave you. Don't think that because I'm rich or I have a PhD or it is me. No, Allah. If Allah doesn't want, God knows where I'm be. But he said, وَأَنْفِقُوا, spend from what I gave you or I'll provide you. Before death come to you. And what you will say, oh Allah, can you delay me for a little bit of time so I can give sadaqah and be among the people which are praying. And Allah will never delay somebody, you know, death, even for a second. This is what Allah is telling you, spend from what I give you. Now the last point is الاستعداد ليوم الرحيل, the big day, when you die. Because Allah said in the Quran, كل نفس ذائقة الموت. Every soul will taste death. ثم تردون إلى عالم الغيب والشهادة. And then you go to Allah. And now, Allah will see you, or He will tell you, do you remember in such a day when you did so and so and so? Of course you forget, but everything is written. So you have to be ready for that day. You have to do a good siyam, and then you have to go to do a good salah. And you have also to do sadaqah, even if it is little. Because the sadaqah, when you give it, is not for somebody else. You give the sadaqah for yourself. This one, I'll give you a story and then I will end because the big speaker is here. So it was a woman, very poor woman, walking in the desert, nobody there. And she has her baby. Then suddenly she heard a sound. You will see a cave after a short period, and this cave will be open for you. Go inside, collect everything you want, but don't forget what is important. Don't forget what is important. This is a life. Do whatever you want, but before you leave, don't forget what is important. So the lady suddenly find a cave, came from where she doesn't know. The cave open, and then inside it, treasures, gold, silver, jewelry, whatever you want. Of course, she is poor. Then she starts to collect. And then she finds the baby, yani just slowing here. Then she put it on the ground, and then she starts to fill up bags of the stuff. So the sound came back again and say, only you have 5 minutes left. Try to collect whatever you want, but don't forget what is important. She started today, and then she took all the bags out, and then the cave is closed. And before the speaker said, the caves will not be open after that. What she forget? Her baby. The most important things, she forget it inside. This is a life. When you go out in the grave, you can't go back. So try, before you go out of the cave to the new cave, be sure you take what is important, which is your good deeds. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه جزاكم الله خيرا.
سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين جزاك الله خير دكتور. First of all, for the reminders, these are reminders that we need, especially when this month is beginning, an amazing month, biiznillahi ta'ala. Remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take us accountable. Inshallah, now the topic is the Quran in the month of Ramadan. And we have Sheikh Asim here. Biiznillahi ta'ala. Jazakallah khair. Fadal ya Sheikh.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. First I'd like to apologize for me coming late. It was because of the weather conditions. I was supposed to pick up my son first and bring him here, and his bus got delayed, hence I got late as well. But inshallah, I'll try to make up for the my tardiness now as much as I could, inshallah. As far as the subject that was given to me, which is about the Quran, the month, Ramadan, the month of the Quran, it's a very big topic, and it will be injustice to cover that topic in just half hour or 45 minutes or whatsoever. It can take literally months and months. As a matter of fact, it can take the whole lifetime for us to talk about the Quran and the blessings of the Quran. But in reference to the month of Ramadan, before even I talk about about the Quran or the month of Ramadan is the month of Quran as well, Shahr al-Quran. I'd like to talk about one of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which in reference to Ramadan, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us see this month of Ramadan and get the blessings of this month of Ramadan. But we will remember this hadith, inshallah, and it's a very blessed hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reported by Imam Tirmidhi. And the hadith goes on that an Jabir bin Abdullah radiyallahu an, and he says anna nabiy sallallahu alaihi wasallam raqa al minbar falamma raqa al daraja al ula qala amin thumma raqa thaniya فقال آمين ثم رقى الثالثة فقال آمين, which means that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he climbed the member. Is it echoing because I'm too close? Let me move this a bit farther away. Closer? Is that good? Or I can put it here. Is that good? Okay. So the meaning of the hadith is, which is reported by Jabir radiallahu an, and he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he climbed the minbar. And on the first step, he climbed and he said Ameen. Then he climbed the second minbar, or second step of the minbar, and he said Ameen. And then the third one, and he said Ameen. فقالوا يا رسول الله سمعناك تقول آمين ثلاث مرات. That he said, it was said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we heard you saying Ameen three times. Meaning they were asking, why would you say Ameen while we did not hear anybody saying anything to say Ameen to? قال لما رقيت الدرجة الأولى جاءني جبريل صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال شقي عبد أدرك رمضان فانسلخ منه ولم يغفر له. Subhanallah. It says that Jibreel alayhi salam, the Imam al Malaika, is the one, he's making a dua here. And he is talking about a person who finds the month of Ramadan. He is a wretched person who finds the month of Ramadan. He says he's a wretched person who finds Ramadan and he's not able to have his sins forgiven. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Imam al-Anbiya, said Ameen. Pay attention, that who's the one making the dua? He is the leader of the Malaika. And who's the one who's saying Ameen to that dua? Is Imam al-Anbiya, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such a great dua, and the one who is asking to be happening is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, the continuation, فَقُلْتُ أَمِنْ ثُمَّ قَالْ شَقِيَّ عَبْدُ نَدْرَكَ وَالِدَيْهِ أو أحدهما فلم يدخل يدخله الجنة فقلت آمين. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, and then Jibreel made the dua against the person who found both his parents or one of the parents and not able to enter into Jannah. He is the wretched person. And then he said, رسول الله said آمين. And ثم قال شقي عبد ذكرت عنده ولم يصلي عليك فقلت آمين. And then who's the third one like that? He said, a person in front of whom Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name was mentioned, and he did not send the peace and blessing on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, number one, to make us enter into this blessed month and get the best out of this blessed month, to be the one who inshallah will be forgiven for all the previous sins that we have done. And as the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in many of the different hadith, talks about the same subject, that says that man sama ramadana imanan wa ihtisaban ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi. Whosoever fasts in the month of Ramadan with iman and ihtisab, meaning in the state of iman and the hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then all his sins from the past are forgiven. And the hadith goes on, وَمَنْ قَامَ لَيْلَةَ الْقَدْرِ إِيمَانٌ وَاحْتَسَابًا غُفْرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. And whosoever stood up, prayed on the Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr, the night on which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran, as we will talk about a little bit more as well. This is the night which is one of the nights in the month of Ramadan, which is better than 1,000 months. Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us many, many ways for us to have our sins forgiven, to have ibadat done to the point that it's like a lifetime. Just find one night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all merciful. Now, going to the subject, when we talk about Ramadan, let's not forget this is the month Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to reveal the Quran to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Suratul Baqarah, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. Now, the month of Ramadan is the month Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran. What is this Quran that we talk about? Yes, this is the month of the Quran. But what is this Quran? This Quran is the one which is the guidance. It is the criterion of right and wrong, haq and batil. This is the one that gives the explanations of the hidayah or the guidance. So that's the Quran, number one, we are talking about. So when we are talking about Quran, we have to have this clarity in our mind. What do we refer when we say that we are the one who believe in the Quran? We are the one who are the believe. We are the Muslims who believe in the Quran. What is this Quran? Have a clarity in it. That's the one. That's the criterion of right and wrong. Criterion of haq and batil. That's the one that has the guidance for the whole mankind, not for one nation, rather for the whole mankind, even to the jinn kind. And this is the very same Quran Allah Azza wa Jal talks about. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatul qadr. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about that in Surah Al-Qadr, that indeed we reveal this book on the night of the power, which is the Laylatul Qadr. And this is the night which is better than 1,000 months of worshipping. Subhanallah. Now, the question does come to the mind, and this is a side thing, but I like to talk about that for a bit, which is, what does it mean by that the Quran was revealed on the Laylatul Qadr? Or Shahr Ramadan unzila fihi al-Quran. This month Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran. While we know the Quran was not revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one day or one night. It was revealed over 23 years period of time. And there were revelations in the other months as well. And for that, that the fuqaha talk about that, what it means by that is, one of the understanding is the Quran was revealed from Lawh Mahfuz to the first heaven on this night. And then from there on, it was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the other understanding says it was revealed the first time to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Laylatul Qadr, which is in the month of Ramadan. Hence it is called. So all those meanings, none of them are contradictory to each other. All it's saying is, Quran has an importance when it comes to the month of Ramadan. And before I go into the issue of what it carries, what is the purpose of the Quran, I just want to remind ourselves that it's not when we talk about the importance of the Quran and the purpose of the Quran, we are trying to negate anything else which is linked to the ibadat. Like for example, just the recitation of the Quran, we understand that it is an act of ibadah. It is an act of ibadah, and we get the hasanat, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man qara harfan min kitabillahi falahu bi hasana. Whosoever reads a harf in the Quran, a word in the Quran, he will get the hasana. Wal hasanatu bi ashr amthaliha. And each hasana, you get 10 rewards for that. La aqulu alif la mim harfun walakin alfun. Alif harf, wa lam harf, wa mim harf. Meaning, alif, lam, mim, when we say, we get the hasanat for each letter, 10 hasanat for each letter. Meaning, 30 hasanat we get for just saying alif, lam, mim. So there is a hasanat, there is reward linked to it. This is an act of ibadah to just to recite the Quran. And inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us this opportunity in the month of Ramadan, that we will avail as many rewards as we could in the month of Ramadan as well. As-Suyuti in his book, Kitab al-Itqan, and this is somebody who would love to read about the Quran, to get the understanding of the Quran, or how to understand the Quran, how to do the tafsir of the Quran. There's a book called Al-Itqan. Kitab al-Itqan by As-Suyuti, it's a very important book for understanding the Quran. That book talks about, when it comes to hasanat, although it says, it even gives the information like this, that the Quran has 1,027,000 letters in them. Which means, if even each letter you're getting 10 hasanat, you get 10 million plus hasanat for reciting the whole Quran. And in the month of Ramadan, we know every hasanat is multiple folds. But the question that comes to the mind is this what the Quran was revealed for? Was the Quran revealed just to get the hasanat? As I've said very clearly, yes, we get the hasanah for recitation of the Quran. We're not trying to negate that. But the Quran, was it revealed only for this, to take a calculator and keep calculating how many hasanat I've collected by reciting the Quran? Or was the Quran revealed for when somebody dies that you will be reciting over the deceased? Or was the Quran revealed for if somebody is getting married, then you put the Quran way high on the head of the bride and the groom? And thinking now, okay, now they're under the shade of the Quran. While under the Quran, all sorts of haram is happening when mixing of the men and the women and the proper covering is not done. Is that what the Quran was revealed for? Or is that the Quran revealed for, as nowadays we see all the time, and some of us get very, very glad, very happy when we see, oh, a Muslim senator, a Muslim congressman, he went and he put the hand on the Quran of the Jackson and he took the oath. What is the oath he took? He took the oath. By Allah, he's making the oath on the Quran that he will go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked for. That's what the oath is about. And it's not about the Congress and Senator here, in the Muslim lands as well. When people are taking oath, like Shehbaz Sharif, he just took the oath as the Prime Minister, 24th Prime Minister of Pakistan, taking the oath on the Quran, that he is taking the oath, taking the qasam, that he will go against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How stupid can you be? And why am I saying that? Because when these people are taking the oath, they are taking the oath that they will be doing the legislation now. Who does this belong to? In hukm illa lillah, hukm belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hukm does not belong to a king, a president, a prime minister, or majority, or even all university, all the people in the world you gather. That's not what the hukm or the ruling belongs to, or legislation belongs to. Legislation belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how dumb can we be that we will be taking oath on the book of Allah that we will disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That's what it's about. And that's what I want to make sure we take from here when we are here gathered to talk about the Quran. Let's at least have this understanding of what is the purpose of the Quran. Why Allah Azza wa Jal sent this book to the mankind? And what was the impact of this Quran on the people? Let's not secularize our deen. Let's not secularize the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thinking this book is for all sorts of ritualistic things, which some of them may be from Islam, and we should be doing that. But then we move the book away outside of life affairs and we say, no, for that I have to go back to the man. He's the one who's going to decide what is right and what is wrong. Look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says when he talks about the purpose of the revelation, which is Al-Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ibrahim, Alif Lam Ra, Kitabun anzalnahu ilayka litukhrija an-nasa min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is saying that we reveal this book unto you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I say, litukhrija an-nasa min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. When he say لتخرج الناس, this lamb, the brothers who know Arabic here, they are familiar with this. This lamb is called لام التعليل. لام التعليل means this is the illah. This is the reason of the revelation of the Quran. What is the purpose? What is the reasoning Allah is giving to us? To take the mankind out of the darkness. And darkness would be many. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says من الظلمات. This is the plural term is used here. Ila nur, but the nur is only one. The guidance is only one, which is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has nothing to do with that, we are talking about the Arabs or the Muslims. No, we're talking about this message is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the one who is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is the one who gave this book to us. And when we approach this book, another aspect to keep in our minds is this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that we have given you this book, وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ تِبِيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. We reveal this book to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On you, we reveal this book on you that gives you the solutions of everything. It explains everything to you. Now, when we are approaching the Quran, the question that we should be asking to ourselves is, do we approach the Quran with this mentality that I have solutions for every problem that I face in my life is in this book? And if we don't have this mentality, My brothers and sisters, we will not find the solutions. So you have to have this clarity in your mind that when we talk about this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are talking about the book that gives us the explanation of every problem that you and I can face, whatever people face from the time it was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the past 1400 plus years, for today and until the day of judgment. All the solutions are in this book. But there's an attitude thing here. We have to have this attitude of looking at the book this way, that this book has the solutions for everything. And keep in mind the third thing. So there are three things I mentioned. One, the purpose of the Quran. What is the purpose of the Quran? To take the mankind out of the dhulumat, the darkness, into the light. Number two, to understand that our all solutions of our life are in this book. And when I say this book, so I want to make sure that it will not be taken in the wrong way, as many there's a trend the kuffar are trying to insert among the Muslims of, oh, Quran is sufficient for you. No, when I'm saying Quran, this very same Quran asks us to follow the Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because that's also part of the wahi. So that has to be taken as well. So that's the second thing I said. Third thing, when we are approaching Quran, we have to have the clarity in the mission of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was given this book. Because of that book, we recognize him as the messenger of Allah. What is the mission that was given to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينَ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this verse, the beginning part of it, is repeated three times. And you find very often that the verses or the statements which are important, and because of the emphasis Allah has repeated, different context, different meaning, well, it can be extracted from there, but they are repeated so we understand the importance of it. The verse is saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is he who sent his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam with the guidance, with the deen of haqq. For what? لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّ. So this way of life, this deen, the deen of Islam, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that prevails over other ways of life. So these three things have to be remembered when we talk about the importance of the Quran. When we talk about this Shahrul, the Ramadan is the Shahrul Quran. So we will get the best out of it, inshallah, from this month. And in the beginning of the Mus'haf, after Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it very clear who is this guidance really benefits. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these Alif Lam Mim, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is the book, Quran, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ, that there is no doubt in this book. There is no doubt. And this is the guidance for the muttaqin, the one who have taqwa, the one who have the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the one who is going to be benefited from this book are the one who have the taqwa. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ صَلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And those people who believe not only in this book that have been revealed, but also all the previous books that were revealed, and all the ghaib, all the unseen, and they establish the salah, give the zakah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. These are the people who believe in this book, who believe in the revelation that were revealed before that. These are the one who will be the one who are the guided ones, and the one who will be successful. So the one who wants to get something out of this book, he has to have these characteristics. Without these characteristics, the very same Quran, if the person is the one who is ending up rejecting it, this Quran will become a hujjah, a proof against him. This is the first thing. Now, when the Quran revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we see the result of the revelation in the beginning, in Surah Al-Alaq, the first few ayat that were revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then we see that it talks about Abu Jahl, how Abu Jahl was acting towards Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He wanted to go and step on the neck of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam while he's making sajda. The reason I brought this up, brothers and sisters, I'm not sure how many of you saw, have seen the video that's been going around in India. There were some brothers who were praying on the street. And by the way, this is a very common phenomenon, to pray on the streets, because many a times masajid become full and they start praying outside the masajid as well. And India is no different in that sense. You're talking about Muslims ruled that area for about 800 years. And they're already still in this current India, there are about 250 million Muslims live there. If there are 250 million people living there, they have to find a place to pray. And we find the video in which the cops are going and kicking those brothers who are making the sajda, who are prostrating in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're talking about a nation where if a cow comes in the middle of the street, all the traffic will be jammed until the cow move of its own. If the cow is sitting in the middle of the street, all the cars will stop. And they have a problem with the person who's bowing down to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are very well aware of that. And this is what they were doing. So there's a repetition is happening. What was doing, it was happening in the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the people like Abu Jahl, who wanted to step on the neck of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's a time they tried to choke Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he was praying. They tried to choke him to death. And there were many assassination attempts were done. But the salah is not only the salah that we bow down to, we have to understand that. This is the representation of the whole deen. When those cops are kicking those brothers while they're praying, they want to kick Islam. They want to kick this Quran that we're talking about. And we know many of those incidents when they are trying to burn the Quran. What they tend to forget is this Quran is not only written on the pieces of the paper. You can go and burn all the Qurans in the world. It is engraved on the minds and the hearts of the people. You can't take that away from us. Now, in that time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he started off his da'wah with اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق. It starts off like this. Read in the name of Allah, your Rabb, the one who created. The one who created, the one who taught the man with the pen, the one who gave the ilm, the knowledge to the man. This is the way, this is how it starts off. This is the basic aqidah of the Muslims. Who is our creator? What happens after we die? What is my purpose in this life? It started off with this. And then, at that time, the people were worshipping many false gods. And now it is important for us to understand that what are the false gods of today. If we don't recognize that, we will not be able to understand Quran properly. Because the Quran has to be applied on the reality. Let's not forget this Quran was revealed, it is valid until the Day of Judgment. So it will be giving us solutions for every time, whichever time and age we are living in. Now today's God, or the biggest God of today, is secularism. If we don't recognize that, if we don't understand which is the God people are worshipping today, we will not be able to counter it. And for that, subhanallah, I go back to the Quran and I see things which were mentioned 1400 years ago, which are as valid today as they were valid before. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this many, many stories in the Quran. As a matter of fact, the scholars of the Quran, they divide the Quran into three different parts. They say one part is about the iman and the aqidah and the tawheed, the jannah, nar, these things. Second half is about the ahkam, the rulings. And the third half is about the stories of the previous people. And those stories have ibrah, lessons for us. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks a lot about Bani Israel. Quran is filled with the stories of Bani Israel, children of Israel. Now, it becomes very relevant to talk about those stories, especially when we are seeing what children of Israel are doing in Gaza. What they're doing in Gaza, the genocide which is going on. And not only them, but all the rulers which are surrounding Israel today, the occupy Palestine, they are the ones who are the full supporter of the Zionist nation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about them in Surah Al-Baqarah in great length. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَ مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. This is the mithaq, this is the covenant that was taken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Bani Israel, that do not worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَذِي الْقُرْبَ وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them to take care of the parents, do the ahsan to the relatives, the orphans, the masakin, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا, and say good words to them. وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ ثُمَّ تَوَلَّيْتُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِّنْكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. But majority of you, you turned away. And you put aside the verses of the Quran, verses of the revelation that was revealed to them, Torah, talking about Bani Israel. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about something, and there's a story behind it. That's why I'm bringing this up, and it is very relevant to what's happening in Gaza today as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَكُمْ لَا تَسْفِكُونَ دِمَاءَكُمْ وَلَا تُخْرِجُونَ فَرِيقًا مِّنْكُمْ مِّنْ دِيَارِكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and you took this covenant, we took the covenant from you, that you will not shed the blood of your people, and you will not kick them out of your houses, your town, the places they're living in. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ثُمَّ أَقْرَرْتُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَشْهَدُونَ. And you are the one who are the witnesses who agreed on that covenant. It's not that you did not agree on the covenant. You believed in the covenant. You agreed that this is the covenant. This is the agreement we're going to go along with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. And then after that, they broke the covenant. And before, these verses were revealed for a specific incident. What was the incident? When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, prior to he migrated from Mecca to Medina, there were Jewish tribes who were living in Medina, Bani Israel. Who were they? Banu Qurayda, Banu Nadir, and Banu Qaynuqa. Banu Qaynuqa, they were the allies of one of the Medina's tribes, Khazraj, who gave bay'ah to Rasulullah. They became Ansar later on. Aus and Khazraj, they became Ansar after they became Muslim and gave bay'ah to Rasulullah. Now the other two tribes, Banu Qurayda and Banu Nadir, they were allies of Al-Aus, the other Medina tribe or Yathrabi tribe. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did, as I mentioned, they were very well aware of this covenant. Do not kill each other. Do not kick each other out from their houses. And when they used to make sure the Aus and Khazraj are fighting with each other, and they were providing the weapons on both sides, and they used to fight with each other also then, taking the side of Aus and taking the side of Khazraj. And then those Bani Israel, they start killing each other as well. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about. ثُمَّ أَنْتُمْ هَؤُلَاءِ تَقْتُلُونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَتُخْرِجُونَ فَرِيقًا مِّنْكُمْ مِّنْ دِيَارِهِمْ. And then they kill each other and they kick them out of their houses. تَظَاهَرُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِالْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. And they were transgressing, they were committing a sin. وَيَأْتُوكُمْ أُسَارَى تُفَادُوهُمْ. But when they come as prisoner of war, captives, then they will give some money and release them. So what are they doing? They're taking part of the revelation that came to them, part of the kitab, don't kill each other, they went and kill each other. But when they came as a captive, then they released them because the other command was, don't kick them out from each other, from their houses, and release them from the captivity if they come as prisoners. So they will be released them. And for that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. فَمَا جَزَاءُ مِنْكُمْ وَمَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then if you are the ones who believe in part of the book and reject the other part, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then you will be humiliated in this dunya, in this world, and you will have a severe punishment waiting for you on the Day of Judgment. وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعَمَلُونَ. And Allah is not ghafil. Allah is not... I always forget the meaning of the word ghafil. unaware, heedless. Allah is not unaware of what you do. Now this verse, even though it is talking about Bani Israel, but the part is talking about, are you the one who take the part of the book and reject the other part? That's a general statement from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that ibrah, that lesson we have to learn anyways. If we are the one who are taking the part of the book and rejecting the part of the book, and see, this is not talking about, even though the verse is أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ, do you believe in the part of the book and reject the other part? But it's related to the action. The action was, are you the one who go kill your people and then you release them when they come as captives? Even though it's saying about the iman, but it's talking about the action here. And now when we talk about ourselves, now look what is happening in Gaza. Many of those Muslim rulers around Gaza, they turn their faces away what's happening in Gaza, number one thing. While they are accountable, it's on their neck to go and help their brothers. المسلم هو أخو المسلم. Muslim is a brother of a Muslim. لا يخذل ولا يحقر ولا يخون. And so on and on. Many hadith talk about the subject. A Muslim is a brother of a Muslim. He does not do the dhulm on him. لا يظلمه. He does not do the khiyana towards him. He does not look at with the حقارة ولا يحقر. And he does not cheat against him. But he cannot leave him, his brother, like this hanging while they are going through a genocide. The Muslim Ummah, and then they say that if we go try to help them, then the war is going to expand. As if our own brothers and sisters are getting genocide, and we think of it, the war has not started against us yet. So if they participate to help the mazloom, the oppressed ones, it is as if they're expanding the war. The war is already in the houses of the Muslims today. Whether it's not in our house directly today, but if this is these are our brothers and sisters in Gaza. So when we read the Quran, we have to read the Quran from that perspective. So that is part of the secularization of our mind, that when we look at the Quran, we think of the Quran as something which is a machine for just making a reward, hasanat. We take a misbah or something or calculator, and nowadays people are making apps to count the hasanat and these kind of things. And forgetting that the very same Quran came down to relieve the people from the oppression of the man against the man, and to take them to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. As the famous statement of Rubai bin Amir radiallahu an to Rustam, when he was in front of him and he asked Rustam, asking, why are you here? And his response was, we've been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take the people out of worshipping the people and to worship the Rabbul Ibad, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the creator of all of them, and to take them out of the narrowness of this world and show them the vastness of this dunya and the akhirah. This is what Islam came for. Now, when we talk about the Quran, besides that, this very same Quran that came down and that raised the people, as the hadith of Rasulullah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْفَعُ بِهَذِ الْكِتَابِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised the people by this book. يَرْفَعُ بِهَذِ الْكِتَابِ أَقْوَامًا وَيَدَعُ بِهَا آخِرِينَ. He raises the nations by this book and bring them down by the very same book. This is what the book was for. This is why the book was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to take the people out of oppression of worshipping the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and take him towards the creator and to worship only the creator alone. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, when we talk about this Quran was never looked at as a book which is only be recited as a mean of recitation and to get some reward. As a matter of fact, it's a very well-known understanding that whenever the ahadith are talking about the recitation of the Quran, it's already part of that, that it means to understand it. It means to apply in our lives. The Quran was never revealed for just for recitation. This is why we see the impact of this book on the people, that they change their lives upside down just by listening few verses of the Quran. Most of the Sahaba who became Muslim in Mecca, the big majority of them, they did not even see the Mushaf of the Quran. They passed away before that. There are many great Sahaba, they did not even, the whole Quran was not even revealed. And they was martyred, or they passed away from this world. Over the 23-year period of time, the Quran was revealed. But we find that their lives were completely changed. They did not have to wait for every verse or every hukum to be revealed, and then their lives will change. Many of the Sahaba, as I said, they never saw a copy of the Quran. As we know, the copies of the Quran, first of all, they were compiled into one place in the time of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And then in the time of Uthman bin Affan, the copies were made and they were spread out. Quran was written in the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so let's not get confused. It was written, it was memorized in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when we talk about the copies made, like the mushaf we see, many, many mushafs we see wherever we go, any masjid we go to. It was not like that in that time. But this Quran is the one that came down and changed the personalities, the ones who hated Islam to the point they used to harm the Muslims because of they were becoming Muslims. Like people like Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. Isn't that the same Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu who used to beat up a female slave of his because she became a Muslimah? Isn't he the same one who were on his way to assassinate Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He wanted to uproot the Islam from the root. Get rid of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there will be no Islam. Isn't that the same Umar ibn Khattab? He had to listen to a few ayat of Surah Taha, and that was sufficient to him to become a person who was on his way to kill Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he becomes Al-Faruq, the distinguisher of Haqq and Batil. So when we are taking the Quran, my brothers and sisters, we have to think of the Quran as this is the book that was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that gives us a comprehensive way of life. Yes, it gives us how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how to recite the Quran and get the hasanat. But the very same Quran, very same sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us how to use the bathroom, how to have a relationship with your husband and wife and your children, your parents and your neighbors and your countrymen on the whole world. How to run your economy, how to run your ruling system, how to run your social system, and on and on and on. It provides us a comprehensive way of life. But only way that can have the impact like that, when we look at the Quran this way. The day we start looking at the Quran this way, this Quran will transform our personalities into a completely different personalities. And that's what we saw from Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anh. That's what we saw from Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anh. That's what we saw in all the Sahaba's life and in later on. And even today, when the people, the brothers and sisters who come across Islam, who have never heard of Islam, and when they are entering into the fold of Islam, because they have seen the truth and they are able to change their lives upside down. But that has to be done in a manner that we are looking at this Quran in a way that's a comprehensive way of life. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this book, لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرَانَ عَلَى الْجَبَلِ عَلَى جَبَلِ اللَّهِ رَأَيْتُهُ خَاشِيًا مُتَصَدِّعًا مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. If this book, this kitab, this Quran was revealed on the Jabal, on the mountain, you would have seen them, that it would crumble. These mountains would have crumbled. It is the heaviness of this word. Yes, this is the book that provides us a way of life that can change our lives, and it can change the lives of the mankind. And we are the carriers of the book. We are the one who are carrying this message, the last revelation by the Creator of the heavens and the earth that we are carrying. SubhanAllah, That should be enough for us to feel the weight. What kind of a book we are carrying? It's not a book by any Tom, Dick, and Harry out there. It is a book by the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And now this book has to be taken in the manner that it provides us a way of life. And when we take that, then we will be able to recognize this God of secularism, as I started off with. This God of secularism has to be rejected. And it will only be rejected if we understand this book from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this book, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Quran hujjatun lak aw alayk. This Quran, this book is a hujja for you or against you. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make this book, the Quran, a hujja, a proof for us on the Day of Judgment. Jazakum Allah khairan. Aqulu qawli hadha astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'iril muslimin fastaghfiruhu innahu ghafurur rahim. If there's any questions or comments, inshallah, I will try to answer them now. Am I moving or? After the dinner? That's fine. Okay. Jazakallah khair. Inshallah, then the brother is saying we're going to have the dinner first and then Q&A. Whoever remains now.
Allah khair. Jazakumullah khairan for both of the scholars. Allah khairan to both of the scholars. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect and preserve you guys. Brothers and sisters, I just want to end with a few things here. Especially we are talking about the Quran. We are talking about the coming month of Ramadan. Sayyid Qutb, I was just looking at when the brothers were mentioning the Quran and the rewards of the month of Ramadan and all of this. We must understand a few things, that there are people, the Sahaba, gave their lives for this Quran, literally sacrificed everything that was valuable in this life for the establishment of this Quran, what we call the Iqamat al-Din. And so it's very important that we take the Quran the way it has is supposed to be taken. And so Sayyid Qutb, he says that this Quran, no one will understand this Quran unless they are in the struggle of the Quran, the struggle that the Quran demands you and I to be in. Until and unless you are in that struggle, you will never understand the value of this book. And then he calls this the revelation. He said, he calls it a momentous event in the events of humanity. He says, I reflected for a while upon this event. In the tafsir of the Iqra, yani in the surah, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, I really want you guys, inshallah, to go and read this surah and the tafsir that Sayyid Qutb made of this surah. He said, I reflected for the while upon this event. We all have read it many times in books, either those of the Prophet's biography or those explaining the meaning of the Quran. But we either read it casually or give it little thought and go on with our reading. Yet, this is an event which has immense significance. It is an event which has important bearing on the life of humanity. But much as we try today to perceive its great value, many of its aspects remain beyond our perception. It is no exaggeration to describe this event as the greatest in the long history of human existence. Meaning, the revelation, the first revelation as the Quran comes. The true nature of this event is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the great, the compeller, the almighty, the supreme, the sovereign of the whole universe, out of his benevolence, has turned to that creation of his, which is called man, an insan, and which takes its abode in hardly visible corner of some universe, the name of which is the earth. He has honored this species of his creation by choosing one of its number to be the recipient of his divine light and the guardian of his wisdom. And imagine the honor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us by revealing the Quran on the Prophet sallam, giving humanity the real value by choosing this creation, al-insan, to be the one upon whom the Quran will be revealed. So again, brothers and sisters, Ramadan is coming.
We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the opportunity to see the month of Ramadan. Allahumma balighna Ramadan, and that we are able to utilize every moment of it to get the greatest reward out of this month. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this month the month of victory for this ummah. And that really the month that this ummah returns to its actual status. That it returns to its actual status as the ones who carry the Quran and the Sunnah. Wa jazakumullahu khairan. Wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Before I go, just Ramadan is coming. A lot of things are happening. Watch this space. There's a lot of lives are going to happen from the masjid here and online in general. And so please follow us. If you haven't subscribed to Islamic Voices Live, please do. And then make dua for us. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
لا لن يطول الظلام ديننا لن يضام نحن جيل همام نحن فينا عمر لا 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 لن يطول الظلام ديننا لن يضام نحن جيل همام نحن فينا عمر
صبح بدا نور ظهر نجم وشمس وقمر ألقى على الدنيا الدرر هذا عمر هذا عمر كل البرايا تنتظر أيامه البيض الغرر كي تستفيد من العبر هذا عمر هذا عمر
لا لن تدوم الجراح بل سيأتي الصباح نحن أهل الكفاح نحن فينا عمر لا لا لن تدوم الجراح بل سيأتي الصباح نحن أهل الكفاح نحن فينا عمر.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com.